And thanks be to God, and thanks, Sam, for that reading. Well, welcome to Cross Life Church, everyone. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage today. As far as the next major milestone in my life, I'm going on leave in 2 weeks' time. And so my next major milestone is just to get through this week coming up, and then I get to go on holiday. But also, I'm doing a thesis part-time, and that's the next kind of major thing that I've got to get through. Ideally, God willing, I'd like to get that done by mid-next year, but we'll see how it goes. And after that, I have no idea what I'm going to do with my Thursdays, but we'll see. Horizons are the topic for today, and I hope that this part of the Bible does help you to think towards the future, and especially the ultimate future, what happens after you die and where you stand with God, and how we can live for that future as well. And so I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word. Please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, "Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come." And so, Lord, we pray that today you may work through your word to transform our hearts so that heaven might be our horizon, and that heaven may guide and shape how we live in our lives now. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to imagine that for some reason you have time travelled back to the year 1980. But you still have all the knowledge that you currently have right now. And so you know absolutely everything about what is going to happen for the next 44 years. What would you do with that knowledge? Perhaps you would do what they did in the movie Back to the Future, and you would make a few bets on sporting events that you knew you were going to win. Maybe you would make some wise investment decisions. Maybe you would arrange not to be at certain places at certain times because you know that a conflict is going to break out. Would your knowledge of the future change maybe what career you pursued or what language you learnt or where you chose to live? Knowing the future is a very powerful thing. And if you're a Christian, I wonder how often you think to yourself, you know what? I am actually a person who knows the future. I know where this world is heading. I have this kind of power. I can put myself in the right position to benefit from the future that I know is coming. In our passage today, Jesus is going to show us three things about the future, three things that are certain to happen. And we are going to see how knowing the future helps us to live today. We are in chapter 12 of Luke's gospel. Over the past few months, we have seen a lot of the teaching of Jesus. Jesus has taught us how to pray. He's taught us about evil spirits. He's taught us about what true blessing looks like. He's taught us about the evil generation around him and his people being the light of the world. Last week, we saw the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of the time that he also taught. Today, we are going to see Jesus teach about the future. The Bible says that in the future, God is going to judge the world. Everyone will be raised. Everyone will face God. The books are going to be opened, and God will review the way that all of us have lived our lives. And Jesus is going to highlight three aspects of that judgment for us today. And his big idea here is that knowing the future should drive us to character, courage, and confession. And so firstly, character. We should be of good character because in the future, everything will be revealed. And that is verses 1 to 3. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops." Last week we heard about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of ancient Israel. We saw about how they cared more about externals than internals, more about praise from people than praise from God. They loved looking good more than actually being good. Jesus confirms that here. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Leaven is yeast. You mix this yeast or leaven into your dough when you make bread. And Jesus uses this metaphor of leaven or yeast because it gets into everything. It infiltrates everything. It spreads throughout the whole dough. And so Jesus is saying that the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, their pretending, affects everything that they do. And it affects everything that their followers do as well. It spreads. And Jesus says that Christians cannot be hypocrites because Christians know the future. In the future, verse 2, it says, everything that we have covered up will be revealed. Everything that we've hidden about our lives will be made known. Verse 3, it says, even the things we have spoken in the most private of places will be spoken out for everyone to hear. In the future, every part of everyone's lives will be on display. There is no hiding anything from God. And Christians who know this future are going to work to be good on the inside as well as on the outside. We're going to work to be good in our thoughts as well as in our actions, in private as well as in public, because that is what it means to be of good character. It means having that consistency between the inner life and the outer life. It means having integrity. It's been a while since I've officiated a wedding, but if you've been to a wedding that I've officiated, you might have noticed that when I do officiate a wedding, I pay a bit more attention to my appearance than usual. You know, it's not every day that I dry clean my suit or get out my special shoes or double check my pants before I leave the bathroom. And that is because I'm going to be in front of hundreds of people. There are photos and videos going. It is very public. And you will do that same kind of thing if you are the one who is getting married or if you have a job interview. Or if you have to give a big presentation at work or at uni, you know, the more public it is, the more attention, the more scrutiny you give. Jesus is saying here, though, that when it comes to living God's way, what you do in private is just as important as what you do in public. Because with God, there is no public and private. There is just public. God is always watching what we do. And that means that if you have done something wrong in the past, you've got to make it right. Confess it. Say sorry for it, especially to God, and know that he has forgiven you because Jesus has died for you. You know, don't keep hiding it. God wants you to have a clean slate, and he has made the way for it. Take him up on that offer. And then for all of us, we know the future going forward. We know that God will judge us on the basis of our internals as well as our externals. And so that is why we live lives of good character, of integrity. The second way that we can live knowing the future is with courage. Because in the future, we know that the judgment is not a matter of the body, but of the soul. And that is in verses 4-7. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. It has been said around this church that now that I have a black belt, all my sermon illustrations are going to be about karate. Prophecy is fulfilled. Here is the first one. I was asked in one of my classes once, gave me this situation. You're on the bus, and there is a 13-year-old girl there. She is getting abusive and aggressive. Maybe she's had too much to drink. For some reason, she singles you out, and she comes at you swinging. What do you do? You know, what do you think you would do in a situation like that? Apparently, the correct answer for someone of my size and weight is to do absolutely nothing. It's just to stand there and let them hit you because they can't hurt you. You know, why hit back and risk getting charged with assault? Why say anything and provoke them even further? If they can't hurt you, you just stand there and take it. Too many Christians spend their lives either fleeing or fighting things that cannot hurt them. You know, we work more than we should because we're afraid of being poor. Maybe others don't work as much as they should because they are afraid of pain. We don't say our honest thoughts because we're afraid of being ridiculed. I think for us personally, I think, you know, we sometimes pressure our children because we are afraid of them going to a bad school. But Jesus says here, you're not meant to be afraid of any of those things. The worst that they can do is kill your body, but they can't hurt what is important. They cannot touch your soul. Jesus is saying, these guys cannot hurt you. Unlike karate, though, the reason why they cannot hurt us is not because we are strong. It's not because of how much muscle or fat we have packed onto our bones. The strength comes because we are loved and protected by God. Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? He's basically saying, look, you know, you guys are really good at counting stuff, right? You're really good at accounting and record keeping. You know how to measure how much you have in stock. You know how to measure the value of things. God's even better than that. God does that with you because he doesn't just know how many sparrows you have. He knows you down to the number of hairs on your head. I don't know how many hairs are on my head. I just know that that number is less than it was 5 years ago. But what does it say about God? You know, what does it say about how much he must care about me for him to know? Christians throughout history have shown great courage because they know that God looks after them. They have faced arrest, they have faced ridicule, faced lions, faced execution, being burned at the stake, being beheaded. They have faced all these things with their heads held high because they knew that these things could not hurt them where it counts. Their souls were safe with God. Their bodies were dying anyway. They knew the words of Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, these are words that you need to take seriously. Because most people going about their daily lives fear what happens to their body a lot more than what happens to their soul. And those proportions need to be reversed. God is real. Judgment is real. Hell is real. Jesus said so. And God does not want our souls to suffer in hell. That's why he sent Jesus to die for us. And so you can look after your soul. You can keep it safe. Be reconciled to God. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. Believe that he rose from the dead to give you new life and trust that God's love and Jesus' sacrifice will protect your soul from hell. We know the future. We know that our future is not about how we've protected our bodies, but how we've protected our souls. And so we show courage to those who can only threaten the body. The third and final way that we can live knowing the future is with confession. Confession is actually saying to the world around us that we believe Jesus is Lord, and that is in verses 8 to 12. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Christians know that in the future they will have to give answer for the words that they said about Jesus. And they will also have to answer for the words that they didn't say about Jesus. We will answer for being ashamed or embarrassed or timid about Jesus. I wonder whether anyone has ever made you feel like you've chosen the wrong side. Maybe you've been afraid of sharing, say, your voting preferences, or maybe your choice of friends, or maybe even your religion. Because people might judge you, people might criticize you. I wonder whether you've ever been afraid of sharing those allegiances and allies and loves that you're not quite so proud of before people. There are times when I've been talking with other Christians and they've said to me stuff like, "Can you believe what that other pastor said?" And on the inside, I'm thinking to myself, "Well, yeah, I can believe what he said. He's my friend." Right? You know, Jesus is calling us to be unashamed of the gospel, to be unashamed to confess, "I am a Christian, I follow Jesus," and to believe very strongly that if people have a problem with this, it is not our problem, it is theirs. Jesus promises that if we acknowledge Jesus before people, Jesus will acknowledge us in the future judgment, but the opposite is true if we don't. Now, we might ask, what does Jesus mean when he says in verse 10 that everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven? You know, what's the difference, right? The Son of Man is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. You know, aren't they both God, right? Aren't they the same thing? Well, the best explanation that I've heard of this is that at this point in time, when Jesus spoke, you can be forgiven for not understanding Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus hasn't been revealed as the Son of Man. He hasn't fulfilled that prophecy in Daniel 7 about the Son of Man. He hasn't been risen from the dead and received all rule and authority and power. And so you can be forgiven for not seeing that yet. But the power of the Holy Spirit is clearly evident in Jesus' life. You can see it in his healings, when Jesus casts out demons, when he teaches with authority. All of that comes with power. And so you can't be forgiven if you look at Jesus and say, "There's no power going on there." Or if you say, "That's not the power of God. That's not the Holy Spirit." Or as the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons, calling the Holy Spirit an evil spirit instead." And on that note of the Holy Spirit, Jesus also says that the power of the Holy Spirit is also the same power that's at work in his disciples. When they are brought before the authorities, when they're arrested, when they're questioned, the Holy Spirit will give them the words to say. They don't need to write a pre-prepared statement. They don't need to memorize a gospel outline. They don't need to rehearse. Jesus promises that the words will come with power because they are inspired by the Spirit. And as we read the book of Acts, we see this. We see the words that Peter and John and Stephen and Paul spoke when they were arrested. You can see that Jesus wasn't lying. They spoke powerful words like, "We must obey God rather than men. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do not hold this sin against them. I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." Powerful testimony in front of rulers and authorities that comes because of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean for us? Well, at the very least, it means that if someone confronts you, you know, if they put your back against the wall and they ask you, "Are you a Christian?" you cannot lie. You say something like, "Yes, I am a Christian, and I want you to become a Christian too." And whatever they do to you, whatever they threaten you with, you take it, because they might kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. You know, at the very least, you make that good confession like Jesus did. You speak the truth about who you are and who you're with. But I think for a church like ours, it means more than that. You know, with the country that we're in, with the freedoms that we have, I think it also means taking whatever opportunity we can to show that we love and follow Jesus. It doesn't mean just doing it defensively or passively. It means doing it actively as well. When people ask us what we did on the weekend, do we mention that we go to church? When people talk about relationships and parenting, do we share what we have learnt from Jesus about that? You know, is the message that we send people with our speech one of Jesus is great, the Bible is great, God's church is great? Do we want to send that message to people by our confessions? We know the future. We know that we will have to answer for how we spoke about Jesus. And so we make the good confession. And so we have seen that we know what the future holds. There is a judgment to come. And therefore, what we have done in secret matters. You know, we must be of good character. What we do for our souls matters. We must show courage to protect them. And the things that we have said and the things that we haven't said about Jesus matter as well. We must make that good confession before the world. Are you living like you know the future? Most of us know what the next major milestone is in our lives, you know, whether it is finishing high school or finishing uni, getting a job, advancing our career, or maybe even just getting through the day. Right? We know what we have to do to get across that next line. But Jesus here is calling us to lift our horizon, to be guided and directed by eternity, the future that we know is going to happen. Knowing the future is a very powerful thing. What will you do with that power? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have shown us what the future is going to be like. Thank you that you have shown us that there is a judgment to come, that everything that we have done in secret will be revealed, that the things that we have done for our souls will be significant, and that we will answer for the things that we have said and the things that we haven't said about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, please help us to be of good character. Please help us to be good on the inside and on the out. Please help us to show courage against those who might kill our bodies but cannot kill the soul. And please help us to make that good confession, to be unafraid of showing the world that we are with your Son, Jesus. We are his people and we follow him. And Lord, we pray that this may stand us in good stead for when that judgment comes and we face the judgment seat when the books are opened and we have to answer for all that we have done in the body, whether good or evil. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.